blessed in a million ways. Blessed again to have Brother Larry Booker in the house tonight. We love him and appreciate his ministry. Doing a great work in Rialto, California, and is a friend to the apostolic movement. Is used all over our fellowship in apostolic churches, and is a wonderful Christian gentleman, and a wonderful lover of the Word of God. And we appreciate his ministry at ARC and in this pulpit. And I want him to come. These next three nights are going to be wonderful and full of good things. I want him to come and just whatever the Holy Ghost has laid on his heart, I want him to tell us tonight. Extend your hand and pray for him as he comes. Praise God.
Oh, let's love the Lord together. God, we love you, Jesus. Thank you, my Lord God, for your mighty presence. Lord, you are so precious. We love you. We love you. Let's give him a great hand clap. God, you're so beautiful. We love you, Jesus. We love you. We love you. We love you, Jesus. What a great God. What a great God. What a great God. What a great, great, great God. Amen. I do want you all to know that I really do know how to clap my hands. I'm not giving you a sissy clap. I just don't want to mess up the sound man and mess up his mics and all this good stuff. But I sure do love the Lord. Amen. Are you glad you know him tonight? You glad he's here tonight? Because he is here. He is here in a very, very, very special way. I want to say that it is, as always, a special honor of mine to be in Birmingham and to be with Brother and Sister Sutton and their family, and to be in the presence of God with you wonderful people. I'm excited about what God's doing. I'm excited about what he's going to do tonight and tomorrow and Friday night. Can you say amen? Very, 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 very excited. Thank God. While we're standing, I'd go ahead and I'd like you to turn with me to the book of John, chapter number 2. It's a double treat to have Brother and Sister Deckard with us tonight. God bless them. It's a real treat. And I'm excited about what God's doing for them. And This child thing, that's a deal. That's a good deal. And I'm so happy for you folks. And you know what? That's just, there's no telling what God's going to do with all that. I mean that. Oh, I mean it. How many know that God knows what he's doing? He knows what he is doing. And he's here to bless us. He's here to help us. If you're a visitor here tonight, you are in the greatest place, amen, that you could possibly be in tonight. I remember a time when you would never find me ever in any kind of a church, let alone an apostolic church. Well, you might. I might be in couple of places, but I wasn't getting nothing out of it. And my idea of going to church, if I did go, was it was so boring, and I would sit there. I would beg them not to sing another song. I mean, in my heart, please don't, and we had the hymnals, please don't sing every line. And the man would get up to speak. This is many places. I had no idea what he's talking about. I could not fathom what was coming out of his mouth. And it was the most excruciating boredom. And I thought, I am surely paying for all my sins this week. And I was as serious as could be. I thought you went to church and got bored and paid for your sins. But when I stepped into an apostolic church, I thought, whoa, there ain't going to be no going to sleep here. And there ain't going to be no boredom here. And I understood perfectly what that pastor was saying. And in fact, I knew who he was talking to. And he was talking to me. So thank God. I'm glad for the kingdom, and I'm glad for one God, Jesus' name, apostolic truth. It is the power of God unto salvation. I'm not ashamed of this gospel, amen, nor of his people, nor of him. I'm going to begin reading. How many know you got a great pastor and his wife? How many of you know that? What wonderful, wonderful people. Wonderful people. And so when he comes up missing in May for a while, don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He's coming to bless us in Rialto, and we are excited about it very much, very, very much, very much. And you won't forget that date, will you? Praise God. Long story there. Anyway, God bless him. All right. John, chapter number 2, beginning at verse number 1. Fairly familiar portion of the word of the Lord, but it is, in many regards, there's a portion of this that's pretty strange. Verse 1, and the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece, that's 20 to 30 gallons each. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Amen. What do you say we pray together, and let's ask that God would anoint every one of us, that every last one of us, God would give us ears to hear what his Spirit yearns to speak to all of us. Can you say amen? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we love you. We are truly so mindful of you. And God, you have brought us here together tonight. Lord Jesus, these are midweek services, and these are busy people. And God, they have jobs, they have school, they have so many things to do, but they've come here tonight to hear your word. And we're asking, God, that you would indeed talk to every single one of us in a very special way. For we commit our lives our hearts, our minds, our spirits, and this service into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. God bless you so much. You may be seated. Now, as I've stated, this is a pretty familiar portion of the word of the Lord. This beginning of miracles that Jesus did in Cana of Galilee. I may bring this up later in the week. I'm not sure. But it's an interesting statement that is made here, that this beginning of miracles. And yet when you go through the Gospels, and we find here that his disciples were with him and they were called with him to go to this feast, it was already an established fact that these were his disciples. And so the invitation was extended not just to Jesus but to his disciples, and they came. Everybody understanding, obviously, even at that early date, that if you invited Jesus, amen, his disciples come with it. It's a package deal. Amen. And this is why when Jesus was in the house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, amen, Lazarus, that Martha was busy about, because here he was and his disciples, and she was fixing them something to eat. And it just worked that way, and it still works that way. Sometimes people say, well, you know, I'm going to live for God, but I'm not interested in the church. Can I tell you something? It's a package deal. Amen. It's a package deal. And if you get Jesus, guess what? We come with a package. Hallelujah. It's a package deal. And so it is interesting that when he called his disciples, we read of the times when he spoke to them. It was not an established fact that Simon Peter was an established disciple when he spoke to the people, and they were there working and mending on their nets. And he said, can I basically borrow your boat for a little bit, and let's cast out a little? And so then he taught the people for a little bit from the shore so they could hear him. And after all of that lesson was done, he said, let's launch out into the deep. And he said, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. And he said, but nevertheless, at thy word. And so they went out and threw out, he said, let out your nets on the right side. They did. And they caught a great multitude of fish. So much so, the boat began to sink. And they had to get another boat to come along and help them. And they made it to shore. Simon Peter says, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, etc., etc., etc. And yet, the Bible does not consider that a miracle. The Bible said the beginning of miracles was at Cana of Galilee. And the disciples were there. Now, that's pretty impressive in my book. But God said, that's not really a miracle. And I've looked at that long and hard, and it came to me that there's a difference between a wonder and a miracle. Now, that's good enough to be a miracle in my book. But I will tell you this, there's something people could say, well, that was just a lucky shot. He told him to let out the nets, and it just so happened that when he did, at that moment, you know, here came this school of fish, and you can't, and there's people like that everything they got, they're gonna work it out in their minds. And and Nathaniel could say, but listen, he spoke to me and said he saw me under the fig tree, and there was no way to say, oh, well, you don't know, somebody might have whispered in his ear, and so there's a difference between a wonder, but people can wonder if it's really a miracle as well. But in this case, when the water was turned into wine, what are you going to say now? That was the beginning of miracles. Amen. That is an undisputed work that cannot be explained at all. And that was the beginning of miracles. Now, there is in the subject of of teaching, preaching the Word of God. It's called hermeneutics, and also the study of the Word of the Lord. It's a whole field of theology, and I'm not going to bore you with all of this. But there is something that is termed the law of first reference. And that is basically the methodology that whenever something is mentioned the first time in Scripture, we need to take and pay very close attention to it. It's the first reference, and there's a lot that is wrapped up in that that we would do well to take heed to and to ponder. Amen. There are many examples of this. Just for example, the tree in the midst of the Garden of Eden. Of all of the trees thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the good knowledge which is in the middle of the garden, the midst of the garden, thou shalt not eat of it. And the very fact that even in the garden, God had something set apart for himself and nobody else. It belonged to God. Amen. He set that, he reserved it for him. And that is something to stop and ponder. There's a law of first reference there. And I'm not here to teach and preach about this tonight, but has anybody ever heard of tithing? Amen. This is something that God says, this is mine, and don't touch it. This is mine. The law of first reference, we see Adam and Eve after their fall, and they cover themselves with fig leaves. The first act of man, amen, after sin is committed, they hide from God and they seek to cover themselves with insufficient fig leaves. This is a law of first reference. We do well to take heed to it. This is a difference between religion and salvation. God killed animals. He offered them coats. He gave them coats covering. There was bloodshed. Can I tell you, there's a big difference between religion and salvation. The world is full of religion. Religion is what anybody chooses, amen, to try and somehow cover themselves. I'm not interested in religion. I'm interested in salvation, because salvation is what God has chosen to cover us with. Amen. There's a big difference between religion and salvation, praise God. And we could go on and on and on. It's all through the Scripture. Abraham, the first time he speaks to one that he signals out as his absolute own, amen, and he says, get thee out from thy kindred and from thy nation. Hence, a type of separation. If you're going to be a child of God, and Abraham is the father of the faithful, there is a separation that takes place. Amen. We're in the world, granted, but we're not of the world. We don't think like it. We don't talk like it. We don't live like it. We don't act like it. Though we are friendly with everybody, we're good to everybody, but we do not run to the same manner of excess. Hallelujah. We come out and we be separate. Can you say amen? And we could go on and on and on. Noah, in the wicked world of his day, found grace in the sight of the Lord. And what a type that God can keep us in the middle of a world so gone awry that we can still build a boat and make it out of here. Can you say amen? And we could go on and on and on, but we won't. This, however, is the first miracle that Jesus performs. The first actual miracle. It's beyond a wonder. This is something that absolutely cannot be refuted, gainsaid, figured out, second guessed, amen, or categorized as some kind of a coincidence somehow. No, 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 no. Water turned into wine is a miracle. Now, when this takes place, this beginning of miracles, based on the hermeneutical law of first reference, we need to really stop and consider. The Bible takes the pains to tell us this is the first miracle. And it also takes the pains to tell us and give us the details of how this came about. Here is Jesus. He is at a wedding at Cana, not too far from Nazareth, another small village, amen. But there they have the wedding. He, his disciples receive the invitation, and due to lack of planning or finance or God only knows what, They came to the place, they ran out of wine. Weddings were to be times of festivity. They were to be times of joy. They're not times where you want to come up short in the entertainment business and everybody having a good time. It's like we have a reception and everybody after the service over here, there's going to be a nice reception, and you go over there and there's three cookies. And you got 300 people and it doesn't get it. And so Mary had empathy for this newlywed couple, whoever they were, and their parents. And we don't know what all brought this about, but she knew who to go to. Can I tell you something? It means something at that time. It means something in the 21st century to know who to go to. And I'm going to tell you, I'm glad we've got somebody to go to. I'm glad we've got somebody we can talk to. I'm glad there's somebody we can take every situation to. Can you say amen? I don't care if it's big. I don't care if it's small. It's neat to have something. Amen. Anything to take to him. And just watch him move. Amen. I remember one time, you may have heard me tell this sometime, but I needed some money. But on this occasion, I needed $2,500 to pay the tax man. And I had five of it. And I didn't have the other $2,000, didn't know where I was going to get it. And long story short, I prayed. Amen. And God gave it to me. A man came up to me, handed me, said, God told me to give this to you. And he gave me $1,200. And then I said, now, God, I just need $800 more. And the man came back, gave me another $800, said, God told me to give this to you. Well, one part of the reason, and I'm just dropped this in. Several years later, I needed $25,000. And I said, now, God, you gave me $2,000. And I said, God, if I hadn't have given it away, I wouldn't have to ask you for it. But I need $25,000 before the month's over. And out of the blue, he gave me $25,000. I mean, out of the blue. And another time, I needed $45,000. I'm just telling you, and I needed it. In fact, I had no idea how bad I needed it. And I said, now, God, I need $45,000. And God, if I hadn't given it away, I wouldn't have to ask you. But I know you're big. Now, I've seen many a time I prayed for money, and it didn't come in when I thought. And I thought, today it's got to be in the post office, and it wasn't there. So don't think God don't love you if that's happened to you, because it's happened to me too. But this happened to me too also. And so one night I was going to preach, and I was fixing to preach on the subject of he's an on-time God. But I was running late for service. And I was going to preach on he's an on-time God. And things were already happening, and things were going on. And I started to make my way to the back, and somebody grabbed me and said, Sister so-and-so wants to talk to you. I thought, oh, not now. And they said, but she really wants to talk to you. I said, okay, okay. So I went back there and I sat down, and she was a blessed, blessed, precious saint. She went on to be the Lord. And I said, yes, sis, what can I do for you? And she said, well, I want to give you something. And she goes, but how you been doing? And I'm fine. And I haven't been over lately. I said, no, I'm going to come. I really am. And did that thing, yeah. And I'm thinking, I got to preach, he's an on-time God, and I'm running late, and everybody's looking at me. And she goes, well, here, honey, I'm going to give you that. And I said, okay, thank you, sis. And so I got up there, and we went through the preliminaries, and I was about to preach, and I was going to preach, he's an on-time God. And I reached in my pocket, and I just happened to pull it up, and I opened it up, and it was a check for just almost $45,000. And I was fixing to preach, he's an on-time God. Brothers and sisters, can I tell you, he's an on-time God. But can I also tell you, amen, where some of that came from? was many, many years before when my youngest son was just a little boy. I was in a hotel room and we had been preaching someone, and I'd take turns taking my three sons with me one at a time, and so we were in this hotel, and we had to get up and go to catch a plane, and I had my glasses there, and I picked him up, and the earpiece fell off. If you've heard this, forgive me, but the earpiece fell off the glasses, and that little tiny screw fell out, and I'm down there, and I got the glasses, and I'm looking, and I can't find that little tiny screw anywhere, and I started praying. I said, Jesus, you can help me find that little tiny screw. I know you can. And I felt everywhere and I couldn't find it. And so I didn't spend 10 years in Oklahoma for nothing. I got a straight pin and I put it in there and I bent it up. And the glasses were cockeyed, but I could see. And so I was about to go out, and my son, we were carrying the luggage. And I thought, well, I'm going to just see if I left anything. I went back in a little nightstand right by our bed. There was a game token there my baby had, and I picked it up, but I dropped it, rolled under the bed, and I thought, well, hell, so much. And so I'm making my way out the door, and the Lord spoke to me and said, I thought you wanted the screw for your glasses. I said, Larry Andy, I'm going to show you how awesome God is. You know that screw for these glasses? I'm going to go get it. And I just knew that wherever that token was, I knew that screw was with it. And so I'm feeling under the bed, and I'm feeling how it rolled that far, I don't know, and how that screw bounced that far, I don't know. But I felt the token, and I felt around with my finger, and right next to it was the little tiny screw for my glasses. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, he's a big God. He cares if at the wedding feast they run short on wine. He cares about the big thing. He cares. We have an advocate with the Father. I'm telling you, we've got somebody we can talk to. I'm telling you, he cares about where we are and what we're facing. Hallelujah! And this was not even Mary's problem. But she cared about somebody else's problem. It doesn't even have to be your problem. It can be somebody else's problem. But he still cares. And if you can be an intercessor, he'll answer. So Jesus is there. And here comes Mary. And she saddles up next to him and says, they have no wine. That's all she says. They have no wine. He's never done a miracle before like this. Amen. She knows he's special. She knows the circumstances of his birth better than anybody. She knows that at 12 years of age, they made their way back in search and found him in the temple, dumbfounding the sages and the wise men. But she knows that he was always subject to her and to her husband, Joseph. And we do not know, that's all we know, about his basic upbringing. But she says, they have no wine. And Jesus answers her, and this is where it's always bothered me. He didn't say, mother. He says, woman. Now, if that was your son, that'd be a little tough to take. You got it? I mean, it's like you going up to your boy, amen, and asking him to do something. He said, woman? Whoa. It'd be like Brother Sutton going to one of his daughters and saying, could you do this and so? And they say, sir? It throws you off. This is different here. He doesn't say mother. He doesn't say mama. He says woman. And then he doesn't stop there. As if that wasn't enough, he says, woman, what have I to do with you? Now, my mother is a real sweetheart, but that could have got me slapped. This is different. I don't know where all the disciples were, but I can imagine them taking a little breath. He talks to his mother like that? Woman, what have I to do with you? And she's standing there looking at him. And I imagine in that close circle, it was very quiet. You could hear a pin drop. If you could hear anything, it would be the gears whirling in her mind as she's doing something with what she's just heard. He doesn't call me mother. He doesn't say anything you want, Mom. He says, woman, what have I to do with you? She gets a little smile on her face. She looks at the servants and says, whatever he tells you to do, do it. And she walks off. And he watches her walk off. And everybody's looking at him. And everybody's looking at her. And the servants are standing there. Well, what are you going to do now? You see those 6 water pots over there? Yes, sir. Go get them. Bring them here. And then fill them up. And we know the rest of the story. Now, what in the world is going on here? And what is this all about? Can I propose to you, this is exceedingly important. And I pray, God, that everybody here can catch this tonight, and Jesus, especially me. Amen. We need to pay close attention. This is the first miracle he ever did. Somewhere, someplace in our life, we had our first miracle. Yes, I understand it was probably when we began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. As we spoke in a language, we never had any idea how to speak. Amen. But he did it. It may have been the tongues of men or the tongues of angels. Hallelujah. And I understand that. But you also know there's people that say, oh, that's psychosomatic and all that kind of stuff. But I'm going to tell you something, brother. There comes a place and a time in your life, it goes beyond a wonder, where God comes down. And I'm telling you, if you've not had your first miracle, the first miracle is waiting for you. And then the second, and then the third, and then the fourth, and then the fifth. Can I tell you, he's not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And there's a reason the scripture goes through this story and breaks it down fine and catches us up short, where we wonder what in the world is going on. She comes to him. I gave birth to you. Amen. I gave birth. I nursed you. I raised you. I weaned you. We saw to it you were fed. We saw to it that you were clothed. Amen. I was there for you all the time. Amen. And I am your mother. But he looks at her and he says, no, 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 no. We're not going there. It's not going to be a mama and son relationship. That's not what moves me. That's not what, amen, makes me go. Mama, I want you to understand right now, this kingdom of God is not about flesh and blood. It's not about my raising. It's not about who's kin to who. It's not about who knows who. I'm not going to call you mama. I'm going to call you woman, because right now this isn't a mother-son deal. This is a faith deal. This is a faith deal. If anything's going to get done, you're not going to twist my arm with some kind of an emotion. Amen. Of come on, I'm your mama. That's not the way the kingdom works. We're talking miracles now. You're not talking about me taking out the trash. You're not talking about me cleaning up the back room. We're talking about the miraculous. We're talking about the mighty works of Almighty God. Hallelujah. And when it comes to that, there's only one currency in the kingdom. And that's what I want to talk about. And that's the title of what I want to talk about, Mr. Soundman. The currency of the kingdom. The currency. Currency is what is spendable. And we're not going to get into a long history lesson of civilizations that the currency was salt in some cases. The currency may have been hides taken from animals. Currency, amen, may have been foodstuffs. But we understand that currency basically is money. Whether it's the English pound, whether it is denarii, whether it is shekels, whether it is dollars, whether it is yens, whether it is euros, or whatever the currency is, in that society, it's what spends. It's what you can buy things with. You can obtain things with. Amen. You got to have the currency, amen, that works in that nation. In the kingdom of God, it's not flesh and blood that's going to work in the kingdom. It's not who's your mama. It's not who's your daddy. It's not who's your son. It's not who's your daughter. It's not if you've been in this 5 days or 5 weeks or 50 years. The currency that's going to get this done is faith, faith, faith. He is able. He is mighty. He is faithful. He is true. Hallelujah. You're not going to move me with a mother-son situation. That's what all of that was about. She said they have no wine. Being interpreted is, and I know you can fix it. She didn't even ask him to. She just said, they have no wine. And you're the one. And he said, I'm going to see if you really believe I can fix it, woman. What have I to do with you? I want to see if you got the real currency. I want to see if you've got the real deal. Are you living off of something other than what it really takes to move things? Just me being raised in your house and you giving birth to me is not the currency that's going to get this done, woman. And she caught it. She caught it. She was not offended. She didn't feel like slapping. She understood. I can't lean on you because I gave birth to you. I can't lean on you because I fed you. I can't lean on you because of kinship. But I know the currency that moves you. Therefore, fine. I'm not your mama. Fine. You may not want anything to do with this aspect, motherhood. But you are, and we know that he did, because on the cross, the familial love, John, behold your mother, woman, behold your son. So we're not, but when it comes to the currency of the kingdom, okay. I won't lean on those things. You want currency? Here's the currency. Whatever he tells you to do, do and we're going to be fine. And she walks away, and the disciples are scratching their head, and the servants are scratching their head, and we've wondered a long time what was going on. But Jesus knew what was going on, and she knew what was going on. And he said, that's the currency that gets things done. Okay, boys, done deal. Go get the water pots and bring them over here. And I want you to fill it. Amen. 2 to 3 firkins apiece. 20 to 30 gallons apiece. Amen. Let's just make it 180 gallons. 180 gallons. I didn't have time, wouldn't have inclination, but wouldn't it be something to go down to the store and buy 180 gallons of water? Those little plastic jugs. How many, what would that stack look like if we piled up 180 gallons? We're talking about, this is a lot of water, folks. This is a lot of water, folks. Hallelujah. And so they fill up the water pots. They didn't just fill them up. They filled them up to the brim. Amen. It wasn't just kind of there, you know. Well, there's some water you can splash. No. No, they kept going and they kept filling and 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 filling. Until it was to the very brim. Can I tell you something about this God? There ain't nothing we're going to do that's going to stagger him. There ain't nothing we can ask him that'll stagger him. They didn't start filling it. And when they got to here, Jesus said, okay, stop. He just let them fill. He said, okay, that's enough. He just let them fill. Somewhere, he said, fill it up. Oh, we're going to fill it up. And they kept going. Now, you and I probably go, oh, that's enough. Well, that's cool. That's cool. No, not him. Let her go. If you put that much in it, that's how much wine you're going to get. If you fill it half full, that's how much wine you're going to get. You're going to walk out of here maybe with 160 gallons, or you're going to walk out of here maybe with 170 gallons, or you're going to walk out of here with 180 gallons and a few drops on the floor. Hallelujah. Because I don't mind running it over. Fill it up. I don't care. It don't bother me. What difference? What difference does it make? A miracle's a miracle. Whether he fills half a pot, three quarters of a pot, a full pot, a pot running over. What is that to God? Hallelujah. That's the reason. Amen. When Jesus was in the house and they let that man down through the roof. And they thought, okay, we're going to see now. Is he going to heal on the Sabbath day? And his answer is, now we would say, which is harder? Which is harder? To say, thy sins be forgiven thee? Which is what he did. And they said, who can forgive sins but God? And he said, well, which is harder? To say, thy sins be forgiven thee? Or take up thy bed and walk? See, we would say, which is harder? But with Jesus, he said, which is easier? Because there's nothing too hard for God. It's not a question with God of which is harder. At best, it's a question of which is easier. Because there ain't nothing too hard for him. So they fill it up to the brim. And he's about to show us how powerful a man's faith is and how far this currency will go, hallelujah. And they fill it up to the brim. And then he says, take some to the governor. And so here's the governor. He's sitting around, amen. Lord, don't let me spill it on the speakers. And he's sitting there. He's summoning the seats. He's wondering, what happened to the wine? They call me to be a governor of a feast. We ain't got no wine. Sorry, TGNY two-bit outfit. What's going on here? And they say, hey, we got some. Well, it's about time. And so he gets it. Oh, I know I'm going to spill this all over my coat. That's all right. Whatever. you get this? Hey, hey, get that groom over here. Get that father of the bride. Gay, come here. Every party I've ever been to, they always bring out the best they got in the beginning. And then after a while, when people don't care, they hand out the slop. He said, but have mercy. You've saved the best. I mean, this is the best. This is awesome. And you say, not only does he mind, does he not mind us filling it to the brim? When he blesses, he's not chintzy in amount, and he's not chintzy in quantity or quality. We're dealing with a lavish God. Quantity don't bother him. Quality don't bother him. We got to catch the revelation. If you got the currency, he's got whatever you need. If you got the faith, he's got the answer. Hallelujah. If you've got the trust and you know, hey, come on now. You're God. You're mighty. And I'm standing on your word. I know what your word says. You said in your word, if two or three to get together and agree on anything, you do it. Hallelujah. We got the currency of the kingdom. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And so how far will he go? How lavish is it? I got a word here. Listen to me. Sometimes people are, they just come into the church. I remember, Brother Sutton, when I got in church, and I was a hippie. And I'd look around and I'd see those dear people. Home Missions Church, yes, but. And I'd see the gray-headed people and the precious people. And I thought, how many years they've been in church? Ooh, how much faith they must have. Amen. And I'd meet somebody that was third-generation Pentecost. And I'd think, whoa, dude. I mean, it's in the genes. It's just, whoa. You know what I've come to find? That ain't the currency God's interested in. It don't matter if you're first generation or 15th generation. That don't move God. I've got a good word for the first, second, third, fourth, fifth generation. It don't matter if your mama was in this, your grandma, your great-grandma, your great-great-great-great-great-great-granddaddy. Hallelujah. Brother, the faith still works. The currency still works. I don't care if you've been in this for 5 minutes. If you got the currency, amen, it still works. He's mighty. He's true. He's powerful. He's God and he is faithful, who has promised. Titus 1:2, we're dealing with a God who cannot lie. And he's lavish. He's lavish. Amen. I like dealing with God. You know, there's some, has anybody ever done business with a chintzy britches? I mean, I don't like dealing with chintzy britches. People that, I mean, you know, just, come on. You want to. Where's the box of Kleenexes? Oh. Okay. Young lady, you are selling Kleenexes. Okay? Now, I say, hey, but there's a currency you got to have or you don't sell them. Okay? You got to have currency to sell the Kleenexes. Okay? And I say, hey, those are nice Kleenexes. And I really need a Kleenex. And I know that you'd have to just like me. So give me a Kleenex. But I know Brother Sutton. I know the girl next to you. What's your name? Kim. I know Kim. You got to have currency. Well, and so how much are they? Okay. So I say, I want to buy just, you know. And so you say, $20 for a Kleenex? A Kleenex? $20? But I mean, I don't want to get gross, but let's just say I really need it, okay? And it's bad. And so, did you ever deal with somebody like that? Well, I'm going to tell you the way Jesus works. It's not this kind of currency. It's faith currency. It's faith currency. I have all the faith. What's your name? I have all the faith in the world that if I ask Rachel based on faith in Jesus' name, she'll give me them Kleenex. And I'll tell you the way Jesus works. He's lavish. I'm going to tell you, he's not a cheapskate. He's not chintzy. Hallelujah. You want wine? I'll give you wine. You want miracles? I'll give you miracles. You want blessings? I'll give you blessings. Hallelujah. We got to catch a revelation. It's not first, second, third generation Pentecost. It's my God is big and my God is mighty. Hallelujah. He'll give to him that asketh. Amen. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Unto you. Go ahead and come, musicians. Let's stand. Unto you, which gave birth to me. Unto you, who know Brother Sutton well. Unto you that have been in this 5 years, 10 months, 14 days, 36 hours, 2 minutes. Unto you. It don't matter what your name is. It makes no difference. Doesn't matter how old you are. It makes no difference. Doesn't matter if you're first or second, third generation Pentecost. Don't make no difference. Hallelujah. It don't matter if you're rich or poor, male or female, Jew or Gentile. He's lavish. Woman, what have I to do with thee? All right, I'm not your mother. I'm just a woman. But I got faith in you. And that's the currency of the kingdom. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. And it's lavish. It's lavish. How big is God when he operates on faith? Hallelujah. How far will it go? Well, all we got's 200 penny worth of bread. What is that amongst? Or 200 penny worth. What is that amongst so many? But that every man should take a little. 200 penny worth of bread was 200 days' wages. Among 5,000 men, let alone women and children, 15 to 20,000 people, each of them could have had a little few crumbs. when we work off of our own abilities and our own conceptions. At best, we give people crumbs. That's what happens in denominational churches all over this world. People that are hungry are being fed out of people's intellects. And granted, maybe they did go to a theological seminary and fine and well. But out of their own minds and their own thoughts and their own concepts, they give a crumb here and a crumb there. And that's why people go home hungry every Sunday and they ain't getting nothing. But Jesus said, set the people down in companies of 50 and hundreds. Give me them 5 little loaves and 2 little fishes. And he blessed. And he break. I don't know who cleans this church, but God bless you. And he fed them, fed them, fed them, fed them, fed them. Are you full yet? You want some more? He kept feeding them until they didn't want no more. You hungry? Here's some bread. Here's some fish. Bread and fish. You hungry yet? Still get to lean? I'm not just giving crumbs. When it came to crumbs, he said, pick up the crumbs. Let nothing be left. They come back with 12 baskets full of crumbs. He's lavish. What is 5 loaves and 2 fish? What is that among so many? It ain't much, but you couple it with the right currency. What can we do to reach Birmingham? Who are we? I'll tell you who you are. You got the currency, brother. He's got the answer. You hear me? He knows. He knows who they are. He knows where they are. And he's lavish. He's lavish. I'm about to close. Hallelujah. You want quail? He gave it to it until they ran out their nostrils. Pharaoh, he knows how to put the pedal to the metal. Pharaoh likes frogs. He likes to worship frogs. Put them in the ovens. Put them in the beds. Put them in their shoes. Amen. He gave them frogs. Amen. Elijah! Amen. Those prophets of Baal been screaming all day long. They're trying to get something to happen. They're cutting themselves with lances. They're jumping up and down. Elijah steps up with the currency of the kingdom. He lifts up his eyes. Offers to God a 64-word prayer. But before he does, he said, douse that sacrifice with 12 barrels of water in the middle of a drought. I'm fixing to show Israel how powerful and lavish this God is. I ain't gonna stand up here and scream all day. He offers a 64-word prayer. And fire from heaven falls. It burns up the sacrifice, the 12 boulders, the water. When the fire lifts, there ain't nothing left. Power of the currency of the kingdom. And standing there, bleeding and dazed, they spent every penny they had. And prophets of Baal couldn't get nothing. But somebody that understood the power of the real currency of the kingdom. I don't care if it's finding a little tiny screw for your glasses, or God only knows what else the needs are. That God's in this house. If you're here tonight and you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I'm going to tell you about the currency of the kingdom. I'll tell you how it works. I'm closing. A man called me the other day. He's in his 40s now. His name's Kevin. I said, Kevin! Last time I talked to him, he was a little boy. Amen. Over 30 years ago, I was watching him at an altar praying for the Holy Ghost. And he was down there saying, oh, God, please, God, please. That went on. Finally, I stopped him. I said, Kevin, stop. He stopped. I said, look at me. He looked at me. I pulled a nickel out of my pocket. I said, hold your hand out like this. He held it out. I said, see this nickel? He said, yes. I dropped it in his hand. I said, that's a promise. I'm fixing to give you this nickel. Do you believe me? Yes. I dropped it in his hand. He caught it. I said, what do you say? Thank you. I said, the Holy Ghost is a promise. What do you say? He caught it. He said, thank you, Jesus, for the Holy Ghost. He said it twice and he fell on his back speaking in other tongues. We're talking about currency of the kingdom. Is there anybody here happens to have a need of some kind? Can I tell you what the currency of the kingdom is? You're good. You're great. You're God. My faith and my trust is in you. I'm offering you the only currency that counts. And we're opening up this altar tonight for you to bring your problem, your situation. Hallelujah. If you need the Holy Ghost, come on. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. You got a need. You got a situation. You got a problem. Can I tell you something? Bring the currency of the kingdom. Bring your worship. Bring your praise. Bring your thankfulness. There's a mighty God. He's here tonight and he's lavish. Come on. Come on, brothers. Come on, sisters. It don't matter if you've been in church 5 minutes or 50 years. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. God loves you. God's able. Woo! God, give us the revelation. Lift your hands. Lift your hearts. Lift your praises. Lift your thanks. Lift your prayer. Lift your worship. Hallelujah. This right here tonight could be the beginning of miracles for you.